The wrong one was allayed when a quick poke of both reassured her that the right one was still flesh. The other mound must be dressings, padding, as she had not been offered reconstruction, but she touched it gently just to be sure. There was no feeling at all. At 32, she was very young to be diagnosed with breast cancer, or so a panoply of consultants had told her. Did it run in her family, they wondered? She'd answered, no, as the only family she had ever really known was Aunt Alice's, and they were all very hale and hearty. Did she have a healthy lifestyle, they'd asked, and she said, yes. It was too late to be truthful now, either with the medics or with herself. She had tried, and tried hard, to ride over the waves of depression without medication, until she'd met Finley, and he had shown her the tempting oblivion of booze. Now, she drank only rarely, but she took her tablets faithfully, one white, one blue. She knew that they and Enya, her little girl, had saved her life. "Is my daughter allowed to come and see me yet?" she blurted to the nurse. "She's nearly five, and I know she'll be missing me. She's very shy, very quiet, you see. She's with my aunt until I'm discharged, but I feel fine already." "Ah, yes. It says next of kin Mrs. Alice Montague here," the staff nurse said from the end of the bed, glancing at her records. "No, not yet, dear. The anaesthetic will still be in your system, and you might be a little unpredictable. We don't want to scare your daughter, do we?" Seren knew better than to argue, and no, she didn't want Enya to be scared. It was only 3 months since she had left Finley, Enya's father. But doing so had crystallized plans that had been simmering in her mind for years. As an adopted child, there had always been a huge parent-sized hole in her life, one she had always known she had to fill. She had to get better fast so that she could finally take them both away from all her mistakes and misjudgments, somewhere she could heal and think, and her little girl could thrive. Cancer had shown her that time was a limited commodity, and that the moment to act on her feelings was right now. But where she needed to go, she did not know. The right place existed, she felt it in her bones. Her challenge was to find it. Seren closed her eyes and let her thoughts drift. Hours passed, and the muted daylight in the ward became the glare of strip lights whenever she opened her eyes to check where she was. Images of Enya's sad, pale face mingled with the sounds of traffic on a busy street, the smell of frying onions from a takeaway shop, and she flinched involuntarily at the memory of a man's face inches from hers, shouting, accusing her of the crime of not loving him enough. Sitting bolt upright, she felt a sharp twinge in her chest. The anaesthetic was wearing off, which, though scary, did mean she would see her daughter soon. No pain was worse than Enya feeling abandoned for a second longer than was necessary. She knew more than most how terrible that felt. Seren had no idea when she surfaced next, but she sensed it was in the very depths of the night, as there was silence from the blanketed hummocks in every other bed on the ward. Her sleep had been troubled, crammed with strangely familiar images and imaginings that she could still see with a vividness that unnerved her. A nurse doing her rounds smiled at her and whispered, "Here's something to help you sleep, love. Press the buzzer if you need me," before vanishing into the orange gloom of the ward. Seren put the tablets in the bin. She wanted to revisit her dream. She knew it held the key to unlock a mystery that had threaded through her life. At its heart was a lighthouse and a surging sea. It was always the same dream, and she had seen these wisps of memory many times. But that night, they had seemed so clear. She had almost expected the squat, black-and-white lighthouse to be at the end of her bed when she awoke. There had been noises this time, too. The regular, low tolling of a bell. A sound that had punctuated a life she could not quite remember. And the shrill rush of the wind. In her dream, she saw the ocean and watched the water frothing against the stone tower in an unending rhythm, almost like the low beat of a drum, summoning her. White birds dived from the sky like arrows to spear a fish for supper. Or so a man's voice, she did not know, had told her, her small hand warm in his.